Welcome back to The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. Before Donald Trump won the Republican nomination last summer, he stood amongst a crowded GOP field. He stood out thanks in large part to his campaign promises to build a wall along the United States southern border with Mexico. And for many, or for some, it was hard to take the candidate's proposal seriously for many reasons, including the cost of building such an expansive wall. But even after his upset victory, to many political observers, the question of the border wall remained largely in doubt. But according to a memo recently obtained by Reuters, Donald Trump's transition team has met with the Department of Homeland Security. They met last month in part to, quote, assess all assets available for border wall and border and barrier construction. Joining us now is Reuters reporter Julia Edwards Ainsley, who broke the news in a recent article. Julia, thanks for joining me and welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
So your article is based on this internal agency memo with the Department of Homeland Security. What did the memo say?
Well, the memo summarizes a meeting that took place between the Trump transition team and the Department of Homeland Security last month. And this was going out to staff within the Department of Homeland Security to say, here's the information that the transition team has requested. One of the things, obviously, that stood out was the assets that they wanted collected. They wanted to know all the resources that were available to start building a wall or what they call a barrier. There are also a number of other things they wanted to look at, including expanding detention facilities for migrants along the border as well.
And all throughout the presidential campaign, Trump supporters would defend their candidate, explaining that you can't take Trump literally, that the border wall isn't necessarily a border, isn't necessarily going to be a border, an actual physical border wall. But if Donald Trump is at least trying to make good on his campaign promise to build a wall, this kind of dispels that argument that some of his more fiery rhetoric was only bluster.
That's right. Well, what this is now, of course, between the election and Inauguration Day, is a chance for us to try to figure out what the transition team that Trump has hired is trying to seek to know. That gives us an insight into what they might do next. Any incoming administration will send members into the outgoing administration's agencies and collect this information. And what this information tells us is that they are not shying away from this promise to build a wall, but they're also, they want to consider the cost. And another report that we obtained and included in the article assessed those costs. And the Border Patrol estimated that it would take about $11.4 billion just at the initial cost. That's not staff or maintenance at all, just at the initial cost of building more fencing. And then turning that into a wall would be even more. So we're going to see once Trump is in office, his first 100 days, where the rubber meets the road and how far he plans to expand, what portions might be a wall or might be fence. But what is clear is that they want to see how far they can take this campaign promise. If he's going to back down, he has to have a reason for it.
And do you get a sense from this internal Department of Homeland Security memo of what the opposition might be or what the challenges might be aside from the cost?
Absolutely. They even lay out the points that in order to do this in any kind of a quick timeline, even in as short as 2 years, it would take waivers that would take away considerations like environmental impact studies, possibly building in some areas that are not even necessary. You know, perhaps they're talking about areas where there's just simply not a lot of border traffic. There's not a lot of people coming over. But they laid out every possibility to at least make good on this campaign promise. And there's a lot to keep in mind. And cost is obviously a major part of it in terms of where that money comes from. I think one piece that a lot of people could not believe when Trump was on the campaign trail was the fact that he was going to get Mexico to pay for this wall. And stories out recently have said that Congress will actually seek to get appropriations to start this construction. And then Trump, in his famous way of tweeting his response, said that he will get the media, or he will get Mexico to then pay the U.S. taxpayers back. Again, we don't know how he's going to do that, what that timeline looks like. But obviously, what Trump wants is to make good on a campaign promise. But what he's up against are a lot of realities just about the way the construction works, about the way the U.S. Legislative system works. And these realities are starting to come through and be conveyed to him and his team.
So Mexico, Trump said Mexico will pay for the wall. Mexico has repeatedly said we will not pay for the wall. And then Trump now is, it was reported last night that Trump is seeking congressional funding for a wall, which is a far different strategy than he previously promised. And I'm curious, was there any talk about like how big this border wall might be, how much land it would cover?
Right. So the Department of Homeland Security, in response to questions from Trump's transition team, said that there are about 400 miles that could theoretically see a new barrier, whether that be a fence or whether that be a wall. That's the part that they are estimating would cost about $11.3 billion. But what they don't know at this time is how much of that the Trump team will then turn around and say, yes, we'll be building off 400 miles, or we're going to go smaller. And it's also not clear what portion of that he may make a wall. I mean, he could still theoretically make good on a campaign promise of building a wall if he does, say, 20 miles of a wall.
Although I think, right, okay. But then the U.S.-Mexico border is 1,900 miles?
Yes, and part of that is already fenced. I mean, that's important to keep in mind. There are fences already, low fences that keep anyone from driving through, and there are also higher fences. San Diego has a very visible fence that has kept people from coming in. They say they're more useful in very urban areas where people are mingling back and forth all the time, and it would be very easy to lose track of who is coming and who is going. But in more rural areas, they say what they really need is surveillance. They just border agents would like to keep track of who's coming and going, but it's much easier to do in these more rural, desolate areas. They'd much rather have surveillance there than a fence.
And surveillance was brought up in this meeting as well. Trump kind of asked the Department of Homeland Security about bringing back a aerial surveillance program that President Obama had scaled back.
That's right. This is a partnership between the Border Patrol and the National Guard. As you know, a lot of people criticize the Border Patrol for being too militaristic, for basically seeing immigrants as a military enemy rather than people who, in a lot of cases, have some major humanitarian needs. And so this program, unsurprisingly, was scaled back from the Bush administration, where it used about 6,000 people from the National Guard to about 1,200 under Obama's. And apparently this they also fly less frequently under Obama's program. And these are people who do aerial surveillance of the border to look out for illegal immigration as well as drug trafficking. It's been scaled back, but there are also other ways of doing this kind of surveillance and cheaper ways. So you can have a tower with a camera, much like what you would see walking around New York City, where someone in an office somewhere can keep track of what's going on. But this is something that the Trump transition team has asked about. They want to know why it was scaled back, what the costs are, and it's clear that they are really just trying to explore every possible tool that they can use to secure the border in a way that's never been done before.
And did you get a sense from this memo that you went through that there was pushback? I mean, I know you said that they laid out what the financial challenges would be, but what about just like whether it makes sense?
Sure. I mean, I think that pushback is something that I've gathered in my reporting just from speaking to people who would be responsible for making these things a reality. Again, border agents want better surveillance. They want better protections. In a lot of cases, they want better equipment so that they feel safe if they encounter someone who is armed at the border. They may want better access roads in order to get to certain places of the border. And in a lot of places, they just feel that building a fence and the time that it would take to build a fence or a wall and to do those contracts really isn't addressing the problem at hand. And then, of course, a lot of people say that there are humanitarian needs, that rather than focusing on blocking people from coming across the border, we should instead be looking at violence in places like Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador, and trying to address the problem there rather than just blocking people from coming into the United States.
And Julie, in your article, you wrote that the Trump team's meeting with Homeland Security wasn't only about the border wall. The Trump team asked specifically whether federal workers at the department have tried to protect the identities of any immigrants that they have records on, if workers made any changes to their records for any reason, including to protect their civil liberties. What is the Trump team really getting at with this?
So I thought this is probably one of the most interesting parts of this memo. They're asking basically whether or not anyone has gone into a federal system, a very well-protected system, too, that records any information of an immigrant, maybe someone applying for asylum, someone applying for a green card, or someone who has been apprehended, that would include their biometric data and their address. And obviously a group that provided a lot of this information were the DACA recipients. Those are known as the Dreamers, who under President Obama in 2012 were given work permits and authorization to go to school and basically protection from deportation because they had been brought into the country illegally by their parents. Now, this is a population that has been very concerned that those same addresses and information that they provided could be used against them by the Trump administration in order to find them and deport them. So the fact now that the Trump transition team wants to know if any of those records have been changed really suggests that there's a lot of suspicion coming from the incoming administration that they're not trusting federal workers to be transparent, and that they're suspicious that they may be altering information in order to try to kind of cover DACA recipients from being deported.
And how did the agency respond to that in the memo, if at all?
So, again, the response is really what I found through my own interviews, but what I've heard is that this system is so well protected that if anyone tries to change an address in this system, it would ping many administrators within the system that a change has been made. And so it's not something as easy as just going into a shared document and deleting an address. This is a very well-protected system. And really what that signaled to people who are career employees, not appointed by a political president, but people who are just hired to do their jobs, what it signaled to them is that the incoming administration is suspicious of them.
Now, when the Trump team asked the Department of Energy, I don't know if you remember this, for the list of its employees who had worked on or researched climate change, that triggered a lot of red flags. The Department of Energy denied Trump's requests and talked about how there were concerns that asking for the list of climate change workers felt like maybe they would be retaliated against later. I mean, that was covered pretty extensively. Has there been any reaction like that from Homeland Security about Trump's request for similar information about their workers?
You know, it's very similar, and the connection has certainly been cited. Basically, there's a fear that there's a kind of witch hunt going on by the incoming administration to find people who might not be ideologically aligned with the new administration. But as far as pushback that's been on the record, I have not seen that. Really, the simple answer to the Trump transition team is no, we have not deleted any of those records. But clearly just the fact that the question was asked has put a lot of people on edge.
All right. I think we're going to leave it there. Julia, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And Julia Edwards Ainsley is a correspondent for Reuters. I'm Sarah Gonzalez filling in for Brian Lehrer. And coming up, the places we should visit in 2017. We'll be right back.